my friend, today is your day. Today is your day to come to Jesus and say, I have wandered far away from God, but now I'm coming home. The paths of sin, too long I've trod. Lord, I'm coming home. And my friend, no matter what you have done, no matter how long you've been out there, Jesus wants to receive you. He wants to welcome you. He wants to restore you. And I'm urging you, give your life back to Him.
Hello, and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. Tonight we will hear the conclusion of Pastor Brian Grant's message entitled, The Big Problem with Religion. Last week, Pastor Grant took us to the 15th chapter of the Gospel of Luke, where it's recorded Jesus' dispute with the scribes and the Pharisees, the religious leaders of his day, around the problem they had with him for associating with tax collectors and sinners. Pastor Grant made the point as to how history bears out that this same attitude of contempt for outsiders has been a problem for the church. It sends a wrong message about Christ. In answer to the religious leaders, Jesus told them a parable which we know as the parable of the prodigal son, which illustrates how religion often discards the wayward. This also sends a wrong message about Christ, and this is where Pastor Grant picks up his message this evening, in this concluding part of his message, The Big Problem with Religion. Here, once again, is Pastor Grant.
It's time to start living out the message of Jesus, because it's time for the church to be the place where no one feels like an outsider. And as you know, one of the things you've heard me say, and I'll say it again, one of the devil's tricks is to divide the church into black churches and yellow churches and white churches and Indian churches, when Jesus said, I have made you all one in Christ Jesus, and the church needs to start looking like the place. We need to be a little bit of what heaven is going to be like. Somebody ought to say amen. The world needs to see Christians of all colors and all ethnic backgrounds gathering together in a united way, living and loving and spreading this life-transforming message of Jesus Christ. And God is saying to us, my friend, stop being like the Pharisees. Make sure you don't develop prejudices that excludes others. Amen? You see, the Bible is clear. The gospel is an inclusive message. John 3:16, what does it say? For God so loved the world, what? That he gave his only begotten son. That? Ah, hallelujah for that whosoever. It's a message about the whosoever. And my friend, it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter your bank account. It doesn't matter your social status. It doesn't matter who your family is. I am here to tell you that the gospel of Jesus Christ is for you, that because God said he loved the world, that whosoever believes in him, thank God for the whosoever. The gospel is an inclusive message. But write this in your notes. The gospel is an inclusive message. But it's also an uncompromising message. You know, sometimes we're a little skewed. I've gone to places where they're excited about the fact that the gospel is inclusive, but they're trying to make the gospel, compromise the gospel and make it change it to fit our society's pressure. Look with me in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. I'm going to read verse number 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 9. Here's what it says. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God, And such were some of you. Hallelujah. I don't want you to miss this, because there is a move going on in our society that is trying to make us believe that you can stay the way you are, be anything you want to be, and belong to Jesus. But I want you to know this message is an inclusive message. Anyone, no matter what you have done, you may be the greatest fornicator, you may be the greatest adulterer, you may be the biggest thief, you may be the biggest homosexual, and this message is for you. But don't miss this part. And such what? Were some of you. You see, everybody has to come to Jesus the same way, because this gospel is a transforming gospel. Amen? It turns the thief into a generous giver. Come on now. It turns the adulterer into a wonderful family man. This gospel is transformational, and it is transformative. It turns the homosexual into somebody who knows who he or she is and starts functioning the way God intended. This is the power of the gospel. Such were some of you, but you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what a joy it is to preach and to proclaim a message that can bring change. My friend, I don't care. I've said it before and I'll say it again. It doesn't matter who you are or what you have done. This message is for you, and it can change you from the inside out. Amen. Listen, let me ask you a question. Have you received God's salvation yet? Perhaps you've been disillusioned by the history of the church and by the Christians you've met. But today, Jesus, as I said, he's not so much inviting you to a religion. He's inviting you into a personal relationship with himself. Will you accept him? Will you receive him? Problem number one, religion often has contempt for outsiders. Problem number two, religion often discards its wayward members. You know, the parable of the prodigal son is one of the most loved parables. And I think many of us know the parable. We read it. It was read for you in our hearing. It's a story about this young man who came to dad and asked for his inheritance. That's those uncool things, like you're saying, "Dad, I want you to be dead." But he took his inheritance. He went into a far country. The Bible says he did it. He spent it in riotous living. He lost everything he had. Things got tough. This Jewish boy had to take a job feeding pigs. And you know, the Jews don't have anything to do with swine, but that's all he could get. One day the boy finally decided he'd go home. And when he went home, there was a big party. Daddy threw a big party for the son. You said, "Pastor, that was you. You glossed over all the facts. Don't worry, I'm coming back to those." But I want you to focus. The part of this story which we often miss is the most important part of the story. You see, the most important part is the older brother's reaction. You see, and in the parable, you can put this in your note, the older brother represented the self-righteous religious Pharisees. So let's look to see how he responded. His brother was missing for probably years, and he's now home. And look at how Mr. Self-Righteous behaves. Pick up the story with me, Luke 15, verse 25. Now his older son, the man's older son, was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. The party was, it was really going on. It was hot, okay? So he called one of the servants and he said, "What is this?" And the servant said, "Your brother has come home. And because he has received him safe and sound, your father has killed a fatted calf." That's the one they were really saving up and feeding for special things. But he was angry and would not go in. Therefore, his father came out and pleaded with him. So he answered and said to his father, Lord, these many years I have been serving you. I have never transgressed your commandment at any time. And yet you never gave me a young goat. Here you're killing the big cow. You didn't even give me a goat. Come on, Daddy, what sort of business is this? That I could have a little party with my friends. You think this boy would be glad that his brother was home? But no, he was mad. He was so mad he wouldn't even join the party. Jesus was sending a message to the Pharisees. And he's sending us a message as well. Because, listen, remember in the parable, this man represented the religious elite. And what he is saying, so the man represented the Pharisees, and he's saying, hey, Pharisees, you better be careful how you discard your wounded. This boy has been missing for so long. Here you are bent out of shape that I'm meeting with sinners. And he tells them this story. You know, sometimes if we're not careful, the church has a way of shooting its wounded. You kick up, when a man is down, you kick him into the gutter. You see, religion often discards its wayward members. But I'm so glad Jesus will pick us up. Amen? He'll pick us up. And in the parable, the father illustrates the heart of Jesus. Look at the heart of Jesus in Luke's Gospel, chapter 15, verse 20. And when the boy came home, the fellow, now he's been out there, he arose, he comes to his father, but when he was still a great way off, his father saw him, had compassion, ran and fell on his neck, kissed him, and the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. The father said to his servants, bring out the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand, sandals on his feet. Bring the fatted calf and kill it. And let us eat and be merry, for my son was dead, is alive. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Listen, put this in your notes. Despite how far and how long the son had strayed, the father was waiting to welcome him home. Did you notice that in the story? Daddy saw him when he was still a long way off. Daddy had been sitting and, listen, Daddy had been longing and looking for his son to return home. And when he was still a far way off, the father saw him and did something that an Oriental gentleman does not do at his age. He ran towards the son. Parents, don't give up on that wayward child. God is not finished with them yet. So hang in there. Keep on praying. Keep on praying.
Stay tuned for the conclusion of today's broadcast. To help with your personal walk with God, Pastor Grant has made available printed outlines of today's message with all the scriptures referenced. For your copy, please visit our website, livinggodsway.org, that's livinggodsway.org, or call our office at 215-242-5550. Once again, 215-242-5550. And now, let's return to Pastor Grant for the conclusion of today's message.
Perhaps I'm speaking to someone who once walked with God, but you've strayed. My friend, no matter how far you've strayed, our Heavenly Father is waiting to welcome you home. And my friend, I believe, I don't know everybody here, but it could be there was a time you came and said, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. But the way you have been living has no indication that Jesus is your Savior. People who know you don't even think you know Jesus. But my friend, today is your day. Today is your day to come to Jesus and say, I have wandered far away from God, but now I'm coming home. The paths of sin, too long I've trod. Lord, I'm coming home. And my friend, no matter what you have done, no matter how long you've been out there, Jesus wants to receive you. He wants to welcome you. He wants to restore you. And I'm urging you, give your life back to him. Yeah. Problem number one, religion often has contempt for outsiders. Problem number two, religion often discards its wayward members. But problem number three, religion often overemphasizes good works. The older brother who represented the religious Pharisees pointed to the things he'd done. Did you notice that in the story? Luke 15:29. So he answered and said to his father, lo, these many years I have served you and I have never transgressed your commandment at any time. Really? You notice the two things he was claiming? I have served you and I have kept your commandments. Bring it into the spiritual realm. All them folks walking around in church. You know, churches are packed with people who, if you ask them, how do you intend to get to heaven? In fact, I asked a man one time, if you met the Lord, died yesterday, and you met God, and he said, why should I let you into heaven? And what would you say? And of course, the man said, I would tell him I'm a good person. And so many people are saying, I can get into heaven because I am a good person. And this is exactly what this boy said. He said, Daddy, I have served you and I have kept your commandments. But my friend, I want you to know that even if you have kept all of God's commandments and you serve God, that does not gain you favor with God. Good works cannot earn God's favor because none of our righteous deeds are good enough to satisfy an infinitely holy God. Isaiah 64:6 says, all of our righteousness is like filthy rags. In other words, here's what God is saying. All that good stuff you think you've done, on my scale, it doesn't even budge the scale. Because my standards are so higher than yours. My standard of what holiness is so superior that your goodness, your holiness, it doesn't budge my scale. By the way, if you really think of it, this story emphasizes why good works can't save us. You say, why would you say that? This guy thought he was, think of this, remember now, Jesus is telling a parable, and in this parable, he's using this older brother to represent the religious folks who thought they were all that. They were close to God because they were so religious. But did you notice what this good works, the attitude he had because of this? It made him very self-righteous. It made him very judgmental. In fact, it made this Pharisee so judgmental that they're saying to Jesus, look at you hanging around with publicans and sinners. Look at you. You see, good works makes us think, I'm all that. I'm so special. Look at me. No, you remember? No wonder the Pharisee, the Bible tells the story with the Pharisee and the publican. And you remember that story? Two men went to the temple to pray. One is a Pharisee and one is a tax collector. And the Pharisee, he comes and he says, God, I thank you I'm not like other men. I thank you I fast twice a day. I give my tithes. I serve. I keep the commandments. And thank God I'm not like that man. Oh, you actually pointed at the man, you know. Can you imagine you're praying and you... I ain't like him. you see this idea of, and this is what religion promotes. Religion promotes rules. Religion promotes regulation. Religion says if you keep the rules, you're okay. It ain't true. Nobody's going to get to heaven because they kept the rules. You said, then how can anybody get to heaven? Hallelujah, I can tell you. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. Listen, salvation cannot be obtained by good works. It can only be obtained by God's grace. Amen. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. And we're going to put that on the screen for you because this is such a powerful verse. For by what? Grace. Somebody help me read this. For by what? For by grace you have been saved through what? And that what? Not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. And hallelujah, you already see it in the story. We have already touched on how works make you boast. I'm not like him. Oh, what if I have weird members in our church who, I'm so glad I ain't like that one. We're all saved by grace. When we get to heaven, none of us are going to be able to get together. You won't be able to call somebody who's coming from some other country. They're in heaven from somewhere. Do you know what I did to get in here? Not a soul will be able to say we got in here because we did something. Because we all got there by the grace of God. God's grace. God's unmerited favor. We didn't deserve it. We didn't work for it. But God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Listen. God's grace provides salvation as a free gift. You see, religion emphasizes works. But the message of Christ is totally different. This is why I said this morning we want you to examine the message of Christ rather than what religion says. The message of Christ has nothing to do with good works. It's all based on grace, a free gift. And this morning Jesus offers salvation to you and to me for free. But you know, a gift is meaningless unless it's received. Am I right about that? If I said I wanted to give you $1,000 today, okay, I'm Oprah. I'm giving everybody a new car. How many of you are excited about that? Are you excited? And a new car for everybody. You say, we're not excited because we know you don't have the money to do it. But suppose I did. It would mean nothing unless you receive that car. God is providing the greatest gift possible for free. Salvation. Eternal life. It's free to us. But it costs Jesus everything. My friend, all you've got to do is by faith receive it. By faith. Say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Cleanse me of my sin. I'm turning away from my sin and I'm turning to you. Save me today. I did it when I was only 9 years old. I realized I was a sinner. And I asked the Lord Jesus. I realized that he was the only Savior. I repented of my sin. And I asked Jesus to come into my heart and my life and to cleanse me and to save me. Do you think he did? He says, whoever comes to me, I will never cast away, and he can't lie. And I'm here to tell you this morning, young person, older person, it doesn't matter who you are, if you come to Jesus right now, he will accept you, he will save you, and he will change you. And then you'll have an experience a relationship with the God of glory. Reach out and receive him today.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner, need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and he will answer your prayer and he will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-887-4750 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. And remember to ask for our daily devotional, The Word for You Today. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing to us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for worship this Sunday at 10:45 a.m. It will certainly be a pleasure to meet you. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.